Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, however you may be listening, welcome to the JET Show presented by Full Press Jets and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am your host, Jesse E. Thurmer. This show will be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Full Press Jets. Follow us on Twitter at Full Press Jets and follow me, your host, at JT_17, all spelled out. We are here to do one thing and one thing only, talk New York Jets football. Welcome back. Thank you for spending your time with me, joining me here. Today we've got the preseason flight check. Camp is starting. But before we get into that, it's time to just remind everybody where we're at as a team, what we can expect. There's a lot of little things the Jets have been dealing with. Training camp is returned. The rookies are there. The rookies are working out. Joe Douglas has made a lot of moves this offseason. We're going to cover the majority of them. This is a team that started 1-7 in the first half of the season and finished 6-2 in the second half of the season. The question is, with these new pieces, was the 6-2 finish a fluke? Or was the team really starting to click? If you've been watching the press conferences lately, whether it's Adam Gase, G-Dub, Sam Darnold, you know, all of these guys, Jordan Jenkins, all these guys are really starting to get into it. There's a passion. And I think every team, every season goes through a bit of a culture change every year. It's never quite the same season to season. And I think this has been the biggest change I've seen from the New York Jets locker room. What I mean by that, there's a lot more aggression. There's guys are hungry. Le'Veon Bell, he's been very vocal about how he plans on having the best season of his career so far. You know, guys want to win. Denzel Mims has been raving about Sam Darnold. Oh, but Jesse, every wide receiver does that about his quarterback. What you need to understand is that when receivers say things about their quarterbacks, when anybody says anything about anybody, okay, so for example, if I'm Sam Darnold's wide receiver and I say, hey, yeah, he's a good quarterback, you know there's a bit of a disconnect there because I'm not going to get up in front of people and say, man, he sucks, okay? In that same way, I'm not going to get up in front of the press conference and say, this dude is legit if I don't believe that. So, we have some players not returning this season. Robbie Anderson, we already know my feelings about him. Not going to get into that. He was replaced by Rashad Perryman, who's a top-graded man coverage wide receiver in the NFL. Had a 90-plus PFF rating on the back end of the season. He has been inked in on a one-year deal because he had a slow start last season. Finished strong, and I think the question is, was Rashad Perryman being a product of his environment and things starting to click in Tampa Bay, or is he genuinely possessed the ability to be a quality starting wide receiver? Is he complementary, or is he the piece we make compliments around? Some claim this is a lateral step going from Robbie to Rashad. I think Rashad has better route diversity. He can contest catches better, and we got him at a much cheaper value. So what you'll notice as we go through this, a lot of these guys are being replaced with equal or greater talent for cheaper. So Robbie Anderson wanted to get paid like a number one receiver, but Robbie Anderson didn't possess the skill set to be paid like a number one receiver. So what do? You get somebody who can do what he does and more at a cheaper price, because football's a business. Jamal Adams is gone. He won't be returning. He forced his way out and scorched the earth there. Plus side, Jets got loads of draft capital and another starting safety. And we can look at that as a positive because more draft picks is the correct way to start finalizing a rebuild. We're about to flip the corner. We're about to get there to that point where we can say we're done with the rebuilding process. We're just missing a few pieces. And you get those pieces by doing like what Oakland did. Okay, getting these new guys who can come in, who you can establish the way you want to establish them. Because for the longest time, the New York Jets have been taking old talent, bringing them in and hoping that suffices, and that's not how you build a championship team. You could do that for one position season to season, but the Jets had a habit of doing that time and time again. The LT is a great example of that. Yes, he's a fantastic player, Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest running backs of all time. Love LT to death. His season with the Jets was just meant to be one holdover season. Okay, they don't need these veterans, these older players to come in, and they'd been doing that forever, bringing in old guys who were past their prime, expecting them to play a bigger role than they really could play, especially on the downside of their career. Michael Vick wasn't ever going to be our franchise quarterback. Demaryius Thomas wasn't ever going to be our number one receiver. You can't continue to supplement yourself with old players and hope to build success. Why is Kansas City so good? Why is Baltimore so good? Because they've built on young players and established their immediate core as young players. Brian Winters was released. He was injury prone. Quincy Enunwa has been released. Quincy's an unfortunate story. I have great respect for his time spent in New York. I'm glad he could collect his paycheck for issues that were out of his control. It's not like he was a bad player. It's not like the Jets had a problem with him. Quincy Enunwa is in a very similar situation to what Cam Chancellor, former Seattle Seahawks strong safety, was dealing with. He had a neck injury, herniated discs in the neck. If Quincy Enunwa played football again and got hurt, the results could be catastrophic. So it's time for him to move on, just like it was Cam Chancellor could have continued to play in the league, but not at the risk of their health. I wish Quincy Enunwa the best of luck in his future endeavors. The New York Jets waived Trenton Cannon, who was picked up by Carolina. And this makes me upset. Jets fans on Jets Twitter, because that's what I'll say. I've been generalizing Jets fans a lot. That's not fair. Jets Twitter, the things I've seen were people genuinely complaining about the release of Trenton Cannon. Oh, he was a good gunner. Are you kidding me? Last season, Trenton Cannon took zero snaps at running back. Not a single one. He did not play a single snap at running back. Take that into a loaded running back room with Le'Veon Bell, LaMichael Perine, Frank Gore. It just wasn't a fit. So why would you keep somebody on your team who's just going to play special teams, just play one role in special teams or two roles in special teams, when you could get guys for a greater value to do more things? I'll get into that later. Calvin Beecham was left to walk. He got picked up at a minimum vet salary in Arizona. Last season with the Jets, he had a career high in penalties. We'll get into his replacements later. Daryl Roberts was picked up by Detroit, which is shocking. I didn't think Daryl Roberts was ever going to play in the National Football League again because he sucks. Plain and simple. Daryl Roberts and Trumaine Johnson, who were both on this list, absolute poor performances for what they did in New York. And for Daryl Roberts to be playing poorly, know he's playing poorly, and then take to social media and cry about Jets fans being critical of him, really? Don't be mad of people being critical at you when you're not playing to the level expected. You're a starting cornerback playing like you've never been on a football field before. Fans are going to be upset. You've been left in the toaster for too long. You're burnt every game. Same thing with Trumaine Johnson. Brandon Copeland, his time with the New York Jets was up. He never really took over a position at linebacker. You know, he had 14 starts in a possible 60 games of his career with the Jets. Wish him the best. You know, good luck to him. Major re-signings. Brian Poole, outstanding slot corner, had a career-high season with the Jets. I am thrilled to have him back. Jordan Jenkins led the team in sacks, and the Jets let him hit free agency, but he didn't catch a market, so they were able to re-sign him at a cheaper deal. Earlier today, the day of this recording, 8/13/2020, he said, "I'm tired of effing losing," in a press conference, and that he also expressed that the teams at that point were starting to flip it around. I'm glad the Jets are angry because we've been horribly underrated. I'll get into that a little later on as well. Free agency tracker. George Fant. Offensive line, 3-year deals. He played in 46 out of a possible 48 games with the Seattle Seahawks. So he's durable. Didn't always start, but he was durable. Greg Van Rotten, offensive line, 3 years. He has had one penalty in 47 games. He's going to come. He's going to start right away. Connor McGovern, offensive line, 3 years. 8 penalties in his entire career. Instant starter. You see what we got going on there? Bringing in guys who still have something left in the tank, who have proven that penalties have always been a huge issue with the Jets. We're one of the worst penalized teams in the NFL. And to have guys who can come in and be fundamentally sound is fantastic compared to Kelvin Beachum, who I mentioned earlier, who had a career high in penalties. He had 6 this season. Connor McGovern's had 8 his entire career. And Connor McGovern plays center, which is one of the most difficult positions because you have to snap the ball and you have to get your hands up. And he's made it work. Josh Andrews, offensive line, 1-year deal. Breshad Perriman, wide receiver, 1-year deal. Pierre Desir, cornerback, 1-year deal. Quincy Wilson, cornerback, 1-year deal. Frank Gore, running back, 1-year deal. Everybody except Frank Gore on this list are players who have shown signs of high play, but they need to prove it. And that's what a lot of these deals are. That's what the Jets are really doing with a lot of these guys. It's high reward, low risk. If Breshad Perriman doesn't pan out the way we expect him to, if his end of the season was a fluke, that's fine. He can be gone at the end of this. On the flip side of that, if Breshad Perriman proves that his second half of the season last year is the new norm, then the Jets have gotten major value for a season out of him, and they can use that to reevaluate him. Same thing with Pierre Desir, same thing with Quincy Wilson, especially when we need depth at the corner position. These one-year deals are, you know, legitimate. Frank Gore. Frank Gore is not going to be with the Jets long-term. We all know this. He's here as a supplemental. He's here to provide any knowledge he has on to Le'Veon, to LaMichael. Gore's here to be a supplemental backup workload reducer. I'm thrilled to have him. I'm thrilled the amount of knowledge that's going to be in that running back room. Pair that with this new offensive line, I think we're going to see good old-fashioned New York Jets running football. It's exciting. And I think Joe Douglas is really starting to build this the right way. When do we get back? Going to go over the draft picks, the undrafted free agency tracker, who can make it, who won't make it, and the ESPN Plus position rankings right after this. Back to the JET Show, presented by Full Press Jets and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am your host, Jesse E. Thurmer. Second half of the show, talking draft picks, undrafted free agent tracker, ESPN Plus position ratings, as well as the opt-outs. Only 3 teams in the NFL had 0 players opt out. The deadline was last Thursday. The Jets had 3 players opt out. Offensive lineman Leo Koloamatangi. I really hope that's how you say it. Backup offensive lineman. And I'm not going to fault you. Family will always come first. It is what it is. Josh Doctson. I forgot the Jets had signed Josh Doctson. Josh Doctson has announced that he is going to opt out of the season to go help people in Africa. Best of luck to you, Josh. Considering who we have in undrafted free agents, don't expect a spot when you come back. CJ Mosley opted out. That's a backbreaker. That's a killer, which means all of my predictions about comeback player of the year out the window. It's unfortunate. The plus side, though, is Avery Williamson's back, and this means that all these trade rumors about Avery Williamson leaving or getting shipped out before the season starts are done. And so I hope he has a great recovery from his ACL tear. His success will now directly impact that of the Jets' defense, because Blake Cashman, despite being a rookie, I didn't think he played that great. I didn't think he was quite ready to play, but we didn't really have a choice. So, you know, Avery Williamson, he will really, now he has to come in and anchor this team. And he's done it before, so I believe he can do it. It's just killer to not have him paired up with C.J. Mosley. Every single New York Jet draft pick has been signed. Unfortunately, Bryce Hall, who was picked round 5, pick 158, has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. This does not mean he has COVID-19. It just means he could potentially have it, or someone he's close to or within contact of has had it via backtracing. Mekhi Becton signed, Denzel Mims signed, Ashton Davis signed, Jabari Zuniga signed, LaMichael Perine signed, James Morgan signed, Cam Clark signed, Bryce Hall signed on the reserve COVID-19 list, and Braden Mann signed. Every draft pick signed. This is shaping up to be a great draft class. Did you notice Joe Douglas didn't deal Jamal Adams away until the rookie showed up to camp? Or until the new player showed up to camp. What does that mean? He got a chance to see Ashton Davis do football things, which was a big concern for him and why he fell so late. He was a legitimate first-round talent. He was recovering from an injury, and doctors couldn't send their guys out to go evaluate him. He saw Ashton Davis perform. He saw Bradley McDougal. He saw Ashton Davis perform. And then he sent Jamal away. Which means that there was something Joe Douglas saw and the coaching staff saw and Adam Gase saw and G-Dub saw that said, we can live if we trade 33 away. I think back when Jamal Adams first got drafted and he went to Twitter saying the Jets are going to find out I'm built different than anybody else in this league. I didn't know that meant he was the biggest crybaby I've ever seen before in my life. Unfortunate. I really liked him, too. Undrafted free agency tracker. I got good news for two of these guys. Lawrence Cager, George Campbell, both wide receivers. Lawrence Cager out of Georgia, George Campbell out of West Virginia. They are both raw receivers, but they are both big body types of guys. Lawrence Cager, I think, is 6'5". Yes, Lawrence Cager is 6'5", 220, and George Campbell is 6'4", 183. George Campbell ran a 4.35 40-yard dash. Lawrence Cager didn't at the combine. It's unfortunate, but it's good to know that these two guys have this big, hulking target presence for him. Originally, I thought just one of them was going to be able to make the team. And then with this Josh Doctson opt-out, I wouldn't be surprised if we say Cager and Campbell both make the final 53. Shaim Carter, defensive back, undrafted free agent, has been placed to the reserve COVID-19 list. The Jets have also signed Lamar Jackson, Javelin Guidry, who are both corners, Jared Hilbers, an offensive lineman, Bryce Huff, a linebacker, and Sterling Johnson, defensive lineman. Man, Joe Douglas is building this the right way. That's absolutely fantastic. Now I'm going to get upset. I'm letting y'all know this. ESPN Plus position rankings released every team and what position where they were in the league. The New York Jets roster overall, 32nd in the league. We apparently are the worst team in all of football. Whack. Our highest rated position was the interior D-line. That was 15th overall. The best we got was middle of the field. That's unfortunate. Running back, 19th in the league. Everybody's hating on Le'Veon Bell. Have you seen this man? 4% body fat last time he got it checked. 19th in the league? Behind last year? With a new offensive line? Y'all going to say 19th in the league? I think the world hates the Jets so much, Le'Veon Bell could run for 3,000 yards and break the NFL record, and they'd say, eh, Zeke ran for 1,100. Lord have mercy on all y'all. Offensive line, 19th in the league. If this offensive line is 19th in the league, I don't want to know what last year's offensive line looked like. 19th in the league. Really? Okay. Tight end, 20th in the league. Have y'all not seen Chris Herndon and Ryan Griffin play? That's fine. Don't worry about it. You'll see this season. Cornerback, 32nd in the league. Dead last. Dead last. Dead last in cornerbacks. Literally got rid of two of the worst, replaced them with Quincy Wilson, Pierre Desir, Arthur Millette, bless Austin, Lamar Jackson, Javelin Guidry, 32nd in the league. Edge, 31st in the league. Yeah, no, it's fine. Third best run defense in the entire league, and we are second to last in edge defenders. Okay. That makes sense. I'm starting to see how ESPN Plus does this. They watch football with a blindfold on and then come up with this. Third best run defense in the league. And apparently our front seven is, you know, dog doo-doo. But what do I know? Wide receiver, 30th in the league. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. The only reason that's fair is because we have two of our starting receivers have never played for the Jets before. Denzel Mims, Rashad Perryman. Quarterback, 26th in the league. Sam Darnold is the 26th best quarterback in the league. He's the 6th worst quarterback in the league, allegedly, even though he has constantly and consistently been improving. I really hope the Jets fans, I hope the entire NFL has been listening to these press conferences the Jets have been having. Because for the first time, Adam Gase admitted he was wrong. He was wrong. He said, I didn't use Le'Veon Bell correctly, and that cost us in the long run in the first half of the season. Ooh, that's tough. For once, he didn't throw the team under the bus. He said, I take responsibility. That's my fault. I appreciate that coming from my head coach. I have good news. Full Press Jets, along with being on fullpresscoverage.com and on Twitter, will shortly be expanding officially to Facebook, Instagram, and Sportscaster. What does that mean? There will be 3 new places to watch. We're in the process of hiring new people, so we'll have new content to give you. So it's not just going to be podcasts, it's not just going to be articles, and it's not just going to be me all the time. Right now, with the looks of it, we're having a great graphics design. Great graphic designer coming into work for us, work with us. We'll be on Sportscaster, so when the season comes in, we can watch the games together. We can react to the games live. Facebook and Instagram, you know, they give us a great place to provide additional content. I'm really excited. It's a great building process here. If you haven't already, please go to fullpresscoverage.com. If you'd like to write, go to fullpresscoverage.com. We are always looking to hire new people. Even if you're not a Jets fan. All the sports, all the teams. We have great people on staff working around the clock to bring you the best news articles, podcasts, radio shows, the best sports content for your favorite team, your favorite sport. And even if you don't like the traditional baseball, basketball, football, hockey, we have motorsport now. We have wrestling. Your one-stop shop for all your sports, entertainment, and news. Thank you for joining me again. I appreciate every single one of you. Don't be a stranger. Message us on Instagram. Message us on Twitter. Message us on Facebook. I appreciate each and every single one of you. You are making this one of the greatest jobs I've ever had. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay classy. And most importantly, go Jets.